Hi, this is Amy, your host of Girl Gang the Podcast and founder of GirlGangTheLabel.com. I'm so excited for you to tune into this very special episode. We traveled to London to interview some amazing women in creative industries. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, my name is Carlotta Constant. I'm the Partnerships and Events Editor at British Vogue. And you're listening to Girl Gang, the podcast. Basically, I came out of university and had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do. I think this was probably about 7 years ago, and I was studying graphic design at Sheffield University here in England, and decided just to go and intern at wherever I could. I didn't want to go into graphic design, even though I loved it, but all I did know is that I wanted to be creative. So I basically interned in buying, in sales, in PR, in beauty, in fashion, I think radio, TV, I think everything, like you name it, I've done it basically. And I think that's the great thing for, like, you know, when you've come out of education, if you go into that route, you need to figure out what you want to do, because it's hard. Like, it's honestly like a hard industry out there. And also, like, going for my internships, basically I interned for 2 years free. If there's any advice I'd give being in the fashion industry, it'd probably be like, just say yes to everything.
Honestly, I learned more from internships than even in college. I did 6 internships over a 3-year span. And I think that the education you get and really learning what you're good at, what everyone does, that's such a better currency than actually even getting paid.
100%. And also the internships that you do. So in fashion, I think there's a policy basically here in the UK where you can only do it for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think for the, like, span of the 2 years that I was working, I probably did about 18, 19 internships.
Oh my gosh.
And it was literally ridiculous, because you're literally going from one place to another. The magazines are wanting the best interns, or people at least that know how to do, you know, the day-to-day things in the office, or getting shoot prepared and stuff like that. So I think I was doing all those internships, and basically Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays after work, I'd go straight from my internships to Estrada, the restaurant that I worked at. So I think I'd do, it was something like 9 till 6, and then like 7 till 11 working at a restaurant. Work double shifts on the weekend as well. I've got to make £100 tips every week to see myself through for like my travel costs and stuff like that. But it was definitely worth it.
Is there a favorite memory, even a favorite internship?
It was probably, I did an internship at Topshop, just because, like I was saying before, it's so interesting to know how the brand works and like all the different aspects. So when I did my buying internship, it was actually on the denim section that I worked on. They basically gave to me all these swatches, and I was just like, right, what do you want me to do with them? Obviously, I was an intern there for 4 weeks, and they were like, so we'd like you to choose our new spring summer collection. Wait, I'm sorry, what? And they were like, no, we just want you to choose like what colors we should have for denim for our next collection. And I was there like, oh my gosh, like I'm gonna have to present this. I had to do like mood boards and everything. It was so incredible having that experience.
So after the internships, did you just apply to a bunch of jobs? Then the first one that stuck, you just started going from there.
The thing is, when you get into magazines, especially editorial, is there's not actually that many jobs. Mm-hmm. You've basically got 20 jobs in the industry, and there's about 70, 80 girls fighting for like one position, which is absolutely ridiculous. And no one will ever budge as well. Like, I know some fashion assistants that stayed in their jobs for about 7 or 8 years just so they could stay within the magazine. A job came up at FHM, and it was probably one of the best experiences of my life. I met my fashion director, Will Barnes, who is probably the best mentor that I've ever had yet in my whole entire life. You know, what I find really like interesting now is basically seeing all these incredible stars that we shot back then, which must have been about 6 years ago now, and now how they're huge. So we shot, you know, George Ezra for a cover of like a fashion supplement. We shot Stormzy, and seeing them now, you know, working at GQ previously and seeing them as one of the men of the year, it's incredible going through that process with them and seeing, you know, how they've evolved as artists, as actors. It's special because you feel part of that process with them. I remember when he left, he actually gave me a book, and it was a book on birds, and he just wrote one. He literally put a post-it on it and was like, fashion isn't about clothes, it's about other things, so here's a book on birds. And I was like, oh god, that's so true. I was like, wow. So literally, like, I've still got to this day, we've just moved into a house with my boyfriend, and I've got this book literally like a centerpiece in our house, and it's like, I need that inspiration every day. At British GQ, it was really interesting. Basically, I started as fashion assistant, and it was really great, but when you're fashion assistant in a publication like that, you're not a fashion assistant. I mean, you do so much more. So after fashion assistant, basically 6 months after they promoted me to acting style and grooming editor, basically because I'd had, you know, history in grooming anyway, because I did that at FHM and also a lot in beauty. I now probably know how to shave a beard better than waxing female legs. Like, honestly, I kid you not. Like, I'll look at a guy and I'll be like, oh, do you know what? He should really do this to his face. I'm like, God, I could give him some great tips. So I did the grooming and the styling for those kind of sections, which was really fun. Then I went into junior fashion editor. So that was kind of my process there at GQ. Going into somewhere like GQ was just absolutely incredible and kind of formed the person that I am, and learning from these incredible stylists and writers and, you know, features directors and creative directors. And now I'm at Vogue. I got a call from the publisher. Basically, I do look after the partnerships and events at British Vogue, edit a section in the magazine, which is really fun. And then I style a lot of their shoots as well. And I get to plan all these incredible events and partnerships. It's really exciting.
I first met you at Coachella last mm-hmm. year. You were interviewing people and mm-hmm. kind of covering the scene. That is such a cool side of the job, I think. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I mean, absolutely. I've interviewed some pretty incredible people, whether it's Chris Hemsworth, David Beckham, Martin Garrix, Gerard Butler. Honestly, probably any huge male artist, I've probably interviewed them, which is pretty surreal if you think about it. God, do you know what? The first person I ever interviewed, I think, was David Beckham. which is
starting off strong.
A couple of months ago, I actually interviewed David Beckham for British GQ, mm-hmm. and I had a half an hour interview, and I managed to secure the first UK exclusive with him on his new brand called House 99. So I got to do his first interview for that, his first sole interview for GQ, and, you know, it went online. It's really great. But the best thing about interviewing these kind of guys is, you know, you have to put them in that position where they feel comfortable. And, you know, a lot of people are asking them the same questions every single day. And, like, you know, you kind of need to get that familiarity with them and kind of bond with them how they'd be a normal person. I mean, they're normal people.
It's kind of interesting. There's some people I think we just hold on a pedestal, just the way they're marketed, and you see them on billboards and all these exciting things. So
absolutely.
It just must be such a challenge to figure out how to just look at them eye to eye and like an equal, yeah. and we're all humans, because I think those are the most real conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I remember literally just the interview that I just did with Beckham about a couple of months ago. And I remember him saying something. He was like, I said, what's your favorite product out of this grooming range? And I was like, haha, it's basically like asking you, who's your favorite child? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he laughed. And I was like, no, seriously, who's your favorite child? He was like, is this girl for real? I was like, haha, laugh it off. God, what am I doing? You just have to be real with them. Exactly. They're normal people. But even from doing this podcast, like, it's weird being on the other side.
Yeah.
I'm usually on your side, and that's okay. I can do that. I can interrogate people. I can do it well. But no, it's weird being on this side, definitely.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm like still getting used to this whole side of it. Was there a moment that you remember that it started feeling like you got into a good groove with interviewing people? Because you do that so much now.
Definitely. I think basically I went out to Germany to Hugo Boss's headquarters, and they had just announced that Chris Hemsworth was the new male ambassador for their fragrance. I hadn't actually watched Thor before I interviewed him as well. And I actually said that to him in the interview as well. And I was like, listen, I'm really sorry. Like, I haven't watched it. And he was like, God, don't worry about it.
Oh my God.
And I was like, apparently you're amazing in it. So, but yeah, it was when I was talking to him that it was one of those things where I basically had 4 minutes and something like 30 seconds to have this interview. And, you know, I had to come up with a double page spread, 2 pages of this interview in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. And that is not a lot of time. So I was literally like, okay, you know, basically you just have to relax when you talk to these guys and try and get as much as you can out of them and just ask them what they've never heard before, because mm-hmm. it's boring for them, isn't it, to hear the same thing over and over again. But yeah, that's when I really was like, okay, do you know what, I'm actually quite good at this. Mm-hmm. I can do it.
Yes, that's a pretty good one. So I feel like the whole picturing that whole scene is like a moment to shine, like, all right, I just made it through this. We got this 2-page spread out of that. 4 minutes with Chris Hemsworth.
Or but for example, it'll be like, there's a big UK rapper at the moment called Lord Kana, and like, I spent the whole day with him. I styled him for a shoot, and then I had to write this piece on him, but it wasn't like, the piece was something like 4 paragraphs. So you can spend like literally a whole day with someone, have so much to write about them because they're so incredibly interesting. And for me, one of my favorite things is, you know, finding out British talent. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that. One of probably the best things that I've ever done in my career is I recently styled my first catwalk show at London Fashion.
I saw that.
Men.
That's so exciting.
Thanks. It was really fun. Yeah. It was really great. And honestly, I'd not done anything like it before. It was a brand's first one and then my first one. So we kind of didn't know what we were doing, really.
But all together.
But also, yeah, exactly. All together, which made it feel like this incredible family that we've got. Because styling, it's a weird one with styling, because basically, like, it's just a part of me now. I know that sounds really weird, but like, it's just literally a part of like my day to day. Like, that's literally what I do. I don't feel normal if I haven't got a rail and a steamer in my hand and like 10 pins like stuck to my dungarees or something like that. But yeah, I've done some really exciting things. Like recently, I just did an Estee Lauder video for Vogue, and then also did another photo shoot for them, and that was pretty big bucket list ticker there.
Yeah,
being able to say you style something for Vogue, so that's incredible.
What's a day like in styling? Like, how crazy and hectic is it?
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely mental. So basically, it could be the day before, a week before. You never know when you're going to get it, and also depending on the person or the talent that you're shooting, you never know if they're going to drop out. Like, I think we've styled some people before, some big rapper names, like, you know, flying over from LA or whatnot, and they've been like, oh, they've missed the flight, or they've missed the flight again, and you'll literally be on your third shoot.
So for your job now, what are the different elements that are a part of it? And you just had your first really big events last night. Can you talk to us about what that's like to set something like that up at such a big company like Vogue?
Basically, when I came on board on Vogue, they were basically like, you know what, you're going to have to set up a lot of events. And because I had been on the editorial side, you know, the editorial side and the commercial side of businesses are very different. Commercial side is obviously all money orientated, and they bring, you know, the brand, they keep the brand going, they keep it alive. Whereas editorial, someone can give me a straw, give me literally like a sock, a plain white sock, and be like, you know what, you've got to turn this into like 8 pages. And I'll be like, shh. Okay, fine. Like, I'll go away and do this. I can make a really good 8-page story with one white sock. Fine. But yeah, it's just interesting because now I've basically come onto more of a commercial side. So setting up my first event, which was a Michael Kors in-store event for about 30 of their most exclusive like shoppers, or, you know, us Vogue readers. Basically, they all got to bring a plus one and get an insight into one of the contributing editors' life and like what she sees like is a new spring summer trends. So I was there backstage. I was having to put all the looks together, sending her pictures nonstop and being like, are you okay with this? And like, she was flying in from Portugal. And basically, yeah, I had to help style the three girls backstage, and you know, they had to perform this runway look for all the people, which is great. And then they obviously showcased it live on a Facebook Live even. And I think it went out to all their following, which is like 2.1 million people.
Oh, wow.
On a pretty incredible basis.
Yeah. And then
a lot of people.
Aside from the event side, what other types of jobs are you taking on with this new position?
So I edit a section in the magazine, which is called the checklist section. So it's basically like one hero page of, you know, the best product that we think is out for that month. And then it'll be just like shopping pages of, you know, what we like and, you know, finding an inspiration. And it's just really interesting seeing that all come together. And you know, you can sit there and look at all these products and find some kind of like narrative between it. That's the thing that I love most. It's like this storytelling. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just find that absolutely incredible. You've got this hashtag New Vogue at the moment that's been up and running for the last couple of months, and to be a part of that and to like be able to say like on your CV that, do you know what, like I was a part of that, that's just incredible. Yeah, talking about this is weird. It's weird saying it out loud.
I mean, it's amazing because the first cover that you were a part of with Vogue was the women empowerment cover too, which, I mean, that's so special.
Amazing. And I remember I read that magazine actually literally the day before, 2 days before. And then I got that call from the publisher, Vanessa Kingori, who her in herself is like the ultimate boss lady. But she's absolutely incredible. And learning from someone like that is just amazing. And yeah, seeing it all come together. And you know, you've got Edward and her, and their relationship is so strong, whereas, you know, necessarily you don't find that between commercial and publishing.
So how did that feel coming into this tone in that magazine, and you get to be a part of this hashtag New Vogue?
It's amazing, but also it's a bit of a weird, surreal feeling, because it's like, why me? There's so many people out there that are incredible, and you start working on things and you're like, you think about things every day, and like, you know, if I do something at work, it's like, God, you know what, I'm actually okay at this. Like, it's like you've got to say it in your head to yourself over and over again. And like, like, honestly, I've never lost that feeling of like trying the best that you can at what you're doing. Because yes, I know I've been presented with these incredible things and I've interviewed some of the best people and styled some of the best people, but you've always got to think that you're never going to get anywhere unless you don't finish it, or like think that every day, because it's never going to work out for you, I guess.
You got to keep on evolving. So exactly. I feel like no matter where you are, you 5 years ago didn't think you would be doing this stuff, but it's like to get further, you always have to keep yourself in check and want to push yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest part of making sure that happens is surrounding yourself with inspirational people, which it sounds like your team is just
next level. That's the thing. That's one of the things that I try to do is I always set myself goals and then I'll hit that goal. And my friend will be like, oh my God, like what? You just started your first show. You've just done your first presentation for London Fashion Week. And it's like, yeah, okay, cool. On to the next one. Mm-hmm. Like there's no stopping. Like you just have to keep on going. And especially like, you know, being a woman in like a man's world when I was at British GQ, like you've got to really step up your game. Like it's hard, especially with all these like men that they've got egos. Like a lot of fashion people have got egos, but it's just learning how to deal with them and learning how to go about the right way. And it's just interesting.
I think if you stop for too long and say like, okay, I've made it, I've done everything, you're just gonna roll back down the hill.
Exactly. Like how are you gonna get anywhere in life if you think, you know, hey guys, I've made it, that's fine. Like you just gotta always keep on going. 100%
Keep hustling and keep surrounding yourself with people that I feel like, I personally just like to surround myself with people that I think I'm like the least interesting person in the room.
That's and
I just
exactly want to
like I yeah. never like if I feel like I'm outgrowing a person or a situation or even like a company I started or a product, like I need to move on to the next one to be able to lift myself higher, because I think the community and the people you surround yourself with are so much a part of that.
Absolutely.
Like if we sit in a room and work, we're never gonna excel our lives. We have to be inspired and be around very interesting people.
That's what when I first met my boyfriend, so he's got his own surf brand and that was really amazing. You know, he set it up by himself with his brother and they literally had like no money and then basically have got 3 stores open at the moment and it's just going from strength to strength, which inspires me so much. And being around people like that is honestly incredible. And I remember sitting there with him and, you know, I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. And he was like, do you know what? Like, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do something you love. And that for me was quite weird because people I think have always associated me with the brand that I work with. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all about like, I associate myself with the friends that I've got and it's about what they do and how empowering they are. Like some of my friends are, you know, like physicians or psychologists or in top of the advertising game, but they're all doing such different things. And it's nice having just such a wide variety of friends, you know, brand stylists that you can kind of be like, oh, like surround yourself with those kind of people and then you will literally bring your best self out always.
And even I'm sure like working with all these huge brands, even from the internship phase, while it's so exciting to talk about that in a conversation, what really matters is your day to day.
Yeah.
And I think that especially in the fashion industry, a lot of people I'm sure are chasing titles and like they want to get to a level to be perceived a certain way.
People are ready to knock you down. Oh, yeah. Honestly, they're literally like, I know that where I am and stuff like that, there's probably about 10 girls that are ready to trip me up or like, you know, pull my lube up from underneath me.
Yeah.
But there are people that are literally out there like ready to take you down, to do whatever they can to get into that position. So you've just got to work your hardest. And honestly, like that's the thing that I always say to people is that if you want it, then you will get it. When people do internships and, you know, if they're a bit lazy or if they come in late, it's like, no, literally, like, come on. I was working like 2 different jobs. I was in there like an hour before every single day. Like, if you want this, you will honestly get it. Like, keep working hard, keep at it.
One of my favorite things through this conversation that I notice is it seems like you've just had your eye on the prize and you're not the one distracted by competition. You're not worried about tripping someone up. You just excelled your career. I'm sure to you it seems like over a long period of time, but this is like less than a decade. Look where you are now and all the things you've done. Can you give some advice to people that want to get in this industry and what they need to do to either get involved in editorial or just in the fashion industry in general?
Yeah, I think one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got given was just be nice. And it's so true, just be nice, because you honestly don't know where anyone is ever going to end up. I remember I was working at an internship. I was actually at GQ back in the day when I was interning there for a month. I met this girl and she was absolutely amazing. But the thing is, we didn't didn't know each other, and we were at the printer. She was an intern for another section, and I was an intern for one section. And we were at the printer, and like, I think I've got a bit of a resting bitch face. So I don't know if like, that's why maybe someone told me to be nice to people, is that I've got to go out of my way to be nice, because I have that. But basically we would like, wouldn't really talk to each other. And then one day she said something to me and we were like, oh, hi. And then like, we came together and we had this like incredible collaboration that we put together, and like, we just became the best of friends. And it's those things that you never know where they're going to go or what's going to happen, or, you know, how I've kept in contact with some interns and I put them forward for everything that I like, every opportunity that I've got coming up. If I've got some big gigs on, they'll come like assist me. Even if it's 2 years later, I'll literally drop them a text and be like, yo, are you free? And they'll be like, what? Yes. Like, do you still have this? Or I'll get the random, like, who dis? But yeah, it's, I would literally say like, just be nice to everyone. And honestly, like, just work your hardest, learn to make a good cup of tea, especially here in the UK. And just apply, pester people and be nice, because I get so many applications through for internships. And if I'm not looking for anyone, you know, I'll be bad. I'll literally just skip through it and I won't mean to. But if you pester me, I'll think, oh God, like, this girl, she obviously really wants it. Like, there's something there. Or I'll get someone, like one girl, I think she DM'd me something like 7 times. And I was like, gosh, on a night out, and I was like, this girl's got to stop. Yeah. Then I was like, fair play. Like, I actually remember her. Now I've used her for a couple of shoots and she's good. So yeah, pester in the nicest way possible. Mm-hmm. And just learn to make a good cup of tea.
I love that. That's amazing advice. And that must be such a crazy feeling to be on the other side now where you're getting all the applications.
It's the weirdest thing in the world. Like, I used to be that person. Also, I was talking to the girl I used to work at GQ with, the fashion editor, and she actually found my email of applying for an internship from about, 6 years ago. And she showed it to me and it was like, isn't it funny how I interned for you and now we're basically best friends? Like, we just talk about Labradors and memes and fashion all the time. Like, isn't this funny?
Is there anyone in particular in your peer group or someone that you work with that inspires you?
There's a lot of people that inspire me. Gosh, I think there's one of my best friends called Daisy Dean, who's a stylist, and I used to work with her at FHM. And she's probably one of the best stylists that I know. And she's absolutely incredible. And just what she does and how she does it is just so incredible. And she's now styling campaigns for like Nike and doing, huge things, huge rappers, footballers, everything. And it's so weird going through that process with someone, because we'll sit there and we'll talk about it and it'll be like, wait, what have you just done? Have you just started like Nike's global campaign? Like, have you just done a shoot for Vogue? Like, God, what is this? And it's one of those moments where you just sit there like looking up at the stars and like counting your blessings. And yeah, she's probably one of my biggest inspirations. My mum telling me just to keep on going. It's weird things that inspire me.
Mm-hmm. What else besides people inspires you?
Honestly, anything. I know that sounds really weird, but I can be walking down the street and like, I think someone's like balloon popped and then like literally went past me and I was like, God, like imagine that as like the red color like running through like the magazine and on your page. And like, or yeah, like how my old boss at FHM gave me a book on birds and it's like, yeah, do you know what, fashion isn't about birds, so let's put a bird on a page. And it's also like subcultures that inspire me. So you have like the streetwear culture, which I absolutely love. My brother's a skater, so I love going to the skate park and like actually skating with him and doing stuff like that. Like, honestly, anything, like if a pencil's like flipped around the wrong way and I'll be like, God, what are the positions that like we can make out of? We were playing like a game at Christmas and my boyfriend drew like this thing on Pictionary and he was like, he took a picture of it and he was like, do you know what, I could make that into a t-shirt. And then he did it. Oh. And it's like one of the, but it's those little things that just honestly like, yeah, it changes your way of thinking. Or literally when I'm, so for example, if I had to put the looks together for this Michael Kors event that I did, I had to put all the looks out on my desk. And I know it sounds weird, but I will literally stand on the other side of my desk to look at them upside down and to see if I can see if all the patterns are like merging together. Because then I'm not actually looking at what I've been looking at for the last 72 hours in a row. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just look at things differently and I'll try and see like a different perspective from them.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me today. Can you let our listeners know where they can learn more about you?
You're welcome to follow me on Instagram at Carlotta Constant, and it's probably the hardest name. Thank you for having me.
I didn't know that you did interviews, so your compliment on my setup means a lot to me.
Of course. I mean, I'm genuinely impressed. It's great.
Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling? Ryan Reynolds. Oh, Ryan Gosling's dress sense, though.
Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, please take a moment to leave a review. It helps us out so much. Enjoy 10% off of everything at girlgangthelabel.com with code GIRLGANG. I hope to have you tune in next week. Until then, make sure to support your local girl gang.